Welcome to Film Study Podcast with Lexi. I'm Lexi. I'm sorry. The ending and the trailer of that episode was crazy. But welcome to Film Study Podcast. We talk all things All-American here. And I have my friend Noko on the pod. And I knew it was going to be a football-heavy episode, which is why I have Noko on the pod. Because we are both Ravens fans. And that's how we know. And we know a thing or two about offensive coaching changes. How about that? How about that? So anyway, like, subscribe, share, all of that good stuff. Let's get into it. I've been saying this, but I want to say it again. I used to do like ratings, so like 1 out of 10, 10 being the best. But this season, because it's special and we're getting to the 100th episode, I'm doing letter grades. I wanted to switch it up a bit. So A, B, C, D, F. We haven't really done Fs, but A, B, C, D, F. What would you grade this and why?
Okay. That's okay. Let's see. I would probably give it a B minus C, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. I'm saying based on the first two episodes, right? Because we're on episode 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Are we on 3? Yes. 3. Next week is 4.
Because 1 and 2 really had me on the edge of like, okay, what are we doing? But this one kind of wasn't as bad. There were parts that kind of we'll talk about. But yeah, I might give it a B minus C.
Mine have been in the B minus range this whole time. I feel like there's been parts of episodes that I really loved, so it brought the grade up to like a B minus or a B or whatever the case may be. And it's so interesting because I thought, I don't know if the editor had a rough week or the director was trying to do something different because it's a long standing show. But I'm sorry, because we look at all of the elements of storytelling here on this podcast, this has never happened with All American where I've seen so many just editing things to like tweak or like flubbed lines. There are a couple of like stutters, and it was just so noticeable to me because I've never seen that before. And as an actor and as like a storyteller person, whatever, I pay attention to those things, so it's pretty shocked. But the story and the plot, the performances on point, I think.
Gotcha. So what is your rating?
A B, like a B minus.
Okay, it will be.
Yeah, but the B minus is because I've never seen so many like editing hiccups in an All-American episode. Like it was almost just like a solid B plus. It was almost a B plus.
Okay.
But the minus is brought in because the editing things took me out of it a little bit. And that, like, hey, you're at like, they're at like 90 something episodes now. So if that's my only criticism and editing. No, yeah, it's amazing that they've been able to reach this level of consistency. With that being said, I hope that the editing things get figured out for the next couple episodes. Because listen, there's been some rumblings that this may be the last season. I don't think it will be. I think that they're going to get a 7th and final season. But there's just been rumblings. Well, you just don't know. I know. I want a season 7. I think we need to see them as full adults, away from college, away from schooling, period, and just see them be.
Yeah. You know? And I don't like the idea of, like, I hate when shows, like, when a big character goes away and then they only have one more season. Like,
the right. Season, the I didn't even think about that.
Only, like, relied on that one character. Like, that's not true. Like, so I hope that does not happen.
Me too. I want a final 7th season, especially because 7 seasons is what I predicted way back when that this show would last, like, in season 3. Yeah. So, let's get into, we're holding out hope that they'll get renewed for maybe a final season for season 7. Mm-hmm. And let's get into it. Asher had a pretty brief storyline. I was personally happy about this. because I think that we've been sort of over indexing, if I can say that, on the Asher storyline for the past couple of episodes. And I feel like other characters who are also main characters, their stories have sort of, it's been harder to follow the other main characters because we've gotten so much of Asher, and it was unexpected for me. I don't know what you're I don't know. Do you have the same thoughts? Is that just me?
No, that's very true. But he had a baby and everybody loves kids. Okay, they had to really develop that story, Lexi. And everyone loves kids. And so they had to allow
Listen, the guest I had on, my friend Carmen last week, she was just like, she was not for it.
You know what's so funny about this, though, that now you bring that up and now that we're talking about it, this usually happens when you have kids. Everyone cares all the way up into the pregnancy. Woo, woo, woo. And then, bye. Here's your story, your quick little short time.
Oh, we just needed to see the baby screaming once. And then that was, we're just like, okay, we're good on the baby stories.
Yeah, at the practice and, I mean, not the practice, at the coach's meeting, and they said, yep, this is it. This is it for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. You said that's a wrap on the babies for season 6. I think they have twins playing AJ. So. Exactly. No, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see the twins support. But so with that being said, actually getting into the storyline, Asher gets a check on his cardiomyopathy, which is his heart condition. The doc gives him the all clear. But he quickly finds out that Coastal lost their QB1 to an Achilles tear. That's not fun. And, you know, that puts additional pressure on the team, especially Montez, as a as one of the only Latinx coaches, Latin coaches. And Asher later talks about it with Jordan, about the situation. And Jordan explains what they did at GAU, building up that program, maybe open practices, just thinking outside of the box. Then Asher brings Wade in. I don't know why.
And you know what was funny? Like, the entire time, right? Because you're thinking, okay, they have to bring in a quarterback that we know is a quarterback. Yeah. Right? Because the way they kept hinting at it throughout. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking.
I was just like, Chris? Is Chris coming back from the grave?
I was thinking of everybody but him. Like, yeah, I was very, very shocked. I was like, hold up, what?
My thing was delayed. Like, what I was watching was delayed. So people were texting me. It was just like, there's your guy, as a joke. But it's just like, there's your guy. And I was just like, who is it, Chris? And they were like, no, it's Wade.
Yeah, that was actually very shocking.
Yeah.
I was very shocked. And I wonder how that's going to go.
We'll see. I just hope that we don't spend a ton of time on, I know I've been sort of infamous for saying this, but I just don't want to spend a ton of time on Coastal.
Yeah, me either. That's not why we're here.
And then we're still back at, we're still in Crenshaw. We're still in Crenshaw. Free us. Free us from those hallways. We've been seeing those hallways since season 1.
They're not going to.
I know they're not going to. I just had to get out that rant. I just had to get out that rant. And then did you notice the little Photoshop? I don't know. Maybe it wasn't Photoshop, but it looked Photoshop to me, the picture of Spencer and Billy in the Crenshaw hallway. And I'm like,
they took that from a scene and they framed it and put it in there.
But okay, did they take it from a scene though? Because I don't know. It was because this was like Daniel Ezra had a different haircut in season 3. than the one that I saw. I'm like, that looks like they photoshopped like a Crenshaw jersey onto Daniel while he was at Beverly, or onto Spencer while he was at. So I was like, that haircut is not lighting up. Like, why didn't you just get one from season 3?
You're right. They probably did, and they're probably really good at it. So that's probably
I noticed. I don't know.
I did notice the picture. I didn't notice
it. But I was just like, he looks too young to be when they went to Crenshaw.
Right.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I'm gonna have to rewatch that and look at that.
No, I know. I'm saying all that, audience, don't come for me. I had issues with the stream, so I'm just going based off of my recollection, and we just watched the episode.
Yes, we did.
but yeah, so that was that. We both don't necessarily know where this whole Wade thing is going. But speaking of Crenshaw, one of the other storylines is that Preach wanted Spencer to mentor Dion, this up-and-coming wide receiver football player that attends Crenshaw High. And Dion is a regular high school student. I'd say he was one of the most realistic high school boys in the show I've ever seen, just with the no's and yes, the I don't have a favorite.
Yes. Just very I'm dealing difficult. With one.
Yes, to get conversation exactly out of.
Yes. That was so spot on. I'm dealing with one, and that's all. Like, that's all he says. Yes, no, I did it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I watched film. Did you practice? Yes. What did you work on? The normal. Like, it's like, okay.
The normal.
All right.
The regular.
The regular. So you're so spot on when you said that was like perfect. Like, that was just a perfect.
it just really was. Yeah. Spencer invites him to GAU. He says maybe, but he ends up swinging by, ends up seeing Spencer, you know, having some frustrations, big frustrations at practice. We'll get into that in a second. And then Spencer comes back around to him, apologizes for his behavior, which I love that scene, and we'll get into it later, but apologizes for his behavior, says it was unacceptable to both Dion as his guest and his teammates, like Spencer's teammates. So then Dion asked Spencer if he can stay and watch his game, and I thought that was sweet. I was not expecting to enjoy the storyline as much as I ended up enjoying this storyline. It was a very, I think, nice way and believable way to bring back in Crenshaw into this current story.
That's so true. So they did,
as much as I came from Crenshaw at the beginning of this, I enjoyed the execution and the story.
That is true. I do love how they did that. You are right. That's why I kind of gave it like that B, because I do like when players go back, right? And they take a child under their wing. And then I do, although I really didn't like the scene that we're going to talk about at practice, I do like that it helped show that he was human. And I think sometimes kids miss that piece, right? And so the fact that Spencer did, quote unquote, spin the block and try to tell him, hey, look, take responsibility for his actions and so forth. So I did overall like that scene. I did like it, especially when you look at, I mean, who Spencer is to a lot of them, right? So I do like the way they handled that whole scene. And bringing Preach back. I mean, I haven't heard his name in a while, so it was just kind of good to give him his little cameo for a little bit, you know? So yeah, I did like that. I did like that.
You said, that's a season wrap on Preach. I'm kidding. Stop kidding.
That's it.
He said, that's it. I just laugh because you said, yes, bring Preach back for this little scene, the cameo. You are using very specific words.
It was really short. Walk down this hallway, talk to him, and we didn't see him anymore.
Listen, again, I appreciated and I think it was a good length of time. I don't think that it exceeded what it needed to be, both this story and Asher's story. I thought that it spent a good amount of airtime on it, with still sticking with the main couple of, like, the main three storylines, which we'll get into.
Which one?
Jordan and Layla at this wedding. You know, we ended last week on a very interesting note with him asking her to move in, and obviously she said she wanted to wait, essentially, and it was for her parents and everything like that. This time we get Jordan sort of sending wedding stuff to Layla, like things on the checklist, and she talks to him. She explains for the third, fourth time in the three episodes that we've had. And she hasn't been the only one, by the way, to explain, Jordan, this wedding is 2 years away. We have time.
Jordan wants it now. He wants it now.
He does want it now. He loves one now, but she encourages him to live in the present and also enjoy that he's having his best season, which we'll talk about in a second. But she starts, you know, riddling off stats, right? Like leading with 12 touchdowns. Mac has become the OC, starts listing off his completion percentages, completion numbers. I'm like, okay.
Listen.
Okay, that, in girl. The moment,
like, ooh, I love this. You know how we are, Lexi.
Yes.
Yes, girl, you are winning. I was so happy during that scene. And then...
Yeah.
But I love that scene.
I love that she said, I track my artist streaming number, so why wouldn't I track my fiance's stats? I said,
come through.
Girl, because come I was just through. Like, because a lot of people are not playing you. Like, you don't care about this man. And that's far from the truth.
And so I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was so glad that they did do that.
Yes. Right?
Because I do think that there's this idea that she's only wrapped up in her world and she only cares. But that's just how she operates, right? She thinks a different way. And so when she said it back, I was like, yes, girl. Yes, yes. Shut everybody up. I absolutely loved that scene. Like, loved it.
And what I also loved about that scene, I'm glad that you took time to say that, because something that has been true and something that I said I think last week is that I'm totally okay, because as writers you want to create tension for your people, you want to challenge relationships that you feel like are good and nice, and like you're just like, all right, well, what can we do the best this up? That's how you think as a writer. And so I'm very fine with that. All I said was their tension has to make sense for them as a couple. And one thing that's been true is that Layla has been the most consistent supporter of Jordan as a football player of anyone on this show. And so I'm glad that even in the midst of their tension around the wedding planning, that they still had time to, like you said, put in these lines that she's keeping up. She riddled off 5-10 different box stats. I know the advanced stats.
I had no idea those were Jordan stats. Hold on, let me make it.
We go game to game. She was just like, it's your highest completion percentage. Da, 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 da. I'm like, okay, girl.
Yes.
It reminded me of when Liv got the rookie stats on Spencer's Spencer's socks. I think it was socks. But as a Christmas gift. So it's
Yes.
One thing people cannot say is that they do not care about their bed. They love them. My man.
Yes, they will. And they will tell you a stat.
Exactly.
Every chance they get. My man put up this. Okay.
Come on now. So I did enjoy that. But then after that, sweet. And then she said, you know, she said, I'll arrange to meet with some of the wedding planners at the lounge later. Which we know that later Jordan had an opportunity to essentially zero in with Mac on the changes that Mac is making to the offense as the new offensive coordinator, because they're still installing an offense. And as we know, installing an offense mid-season for a mid-season change, even though it was the first game, is still pretty tough, because it's after training camp. Like, you just have to learn a whole new sort of system. And it looks like they've changed from a wide receiver heavy sort of the offense going through one player to spread offense with some QB running and all of that stuff, which is why I had you on this pod, because you know what I'm talking about.
Trust me.
And just more wrinkles into the offense. And Jordan said that he couldn't because of the wedding planning. And Max said, what's going on there? He wasn't feeling the fact that Jordan was getting married, even if it was 2 years away. Because he was like, are you getting focused on football?
And so I think sometimes coaches think that it's a distraction. Especially all the time. This season. Yeah. And so it was funny when I was hearing it on TV from, like, he was like, married? Your junior year? What are we doing? When a lot of people, I'm not going to say a lot, but it is common for it to happen in college. People do get married while they...
Yeah, I also think it's very common among specifically athletes that are, you know, that are mm-hmm. on that cusp or on the bubble of turning pro. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of younger athletes that have aspirations for the NFL, because right. we follow it, that eventually mm-hmm. say, oh yeah, they come into the league with a wife. Russell, yeah. I mean, Russell Wilson, as we already know, Jordan gets comp to him, but Russell Wilson came into the league with a wife. Did right. he not? Right. Did he not? So yeah. it's that sort of thing where it's, if you're an athlete, and you're, right. you know, on your way to becoming a professional athlete in whatever capacity, that you, even more so now, I should say, with the NIL and everything that's going on, you feel secure, so you're gonna have that relationship mm-hmm. and it's gonna be serious a lot of the time. Right. So I eventually thought that Jordan would be late, which I wasn't gonna be happy about as I was watching the scene, because I thought that he was gonna stay and yes. talk to the coach. And yes. then he did it.
Yes,
that's my that couple, is so man. Crazy that's my, that you that's think... one of my ships, bro. Like,
it's so crazy down. That you, and I think it was the scene where they like zoomed in on his face and had him look like he was thinking about it, and I was like, I hope he doesn't do it.
I literally texted somebody and said, Jordan, no. Because the whole time I had been mentally preparing for Layla to be the one that dropped the ball, which she eventually did. Yeah. But yeah, I just thought that they threw a couple curveballs at us, because I certainly did think that Jordan was gonna yeah. bail out. And then I thought it again when Asher came to talk to him, and I said, oh, he doesn't stay for the coach, he stays for Asher. And then that didn't happen either. So there, Adrian, shout out to you, who is the writer of this episode. So shout out to you, because you threw me for a couple curveballs that I'm not used to. But so Jordan ends up keeping the plan. And he walks in on, which is so funny, because everybody's been making a big deal about this dance for the entire week. I never thought it was going to be anything serious. And it ended up being a 5-10 second dance that was not, you know, it was a very, very short dance. And she was very, very frustrated. Yeah, she was very frustrated right before that dance. She right. didn't even want to dance.
Exactly. She didn't. It just was bad timing. Awful. That's
bad timing. And she was dealing with a very important order that I think got mixed up, a shipment yes, exactly. for some, I'm assuming it was some alcohol that she was ordering, some bottles of alcohol or something mm-hmm. that she was ordering for the club. And it seemed like she had been on hold for quite a while, or trying to resolve the issue right. for quite a while when Ryan came over. So the thing with this is, as Jordan's entering, obviously it gets completely awkward right away. Ryan very dips. Awkward. Ryan dips and Ryan gets like, out of walks there
very quickly. He said, all right, see you guys.
I would too. Jordan's just a very tall guy. He's a football player. Like, I wouldn't want to be dealing with that. And what's interesting about this conversation is that Layla explains right away when Jordan talks about the where's the wedding planner. She says, right. oh, I'm sorry. I've been really overwhelmed and I've been dealing with things, which is the first time we've heard her give a complete answer to why she hasn't been as invested in the wedding planning right. aside from it's 2 years away. So I thought right. it was interesting that they had her give her that was her actual answer, was I've been really overwhelmed. And mm-hmm. obviously we know that Jordan was already frustrated because of everything else happening throughout the day and the practice, which we'll get to in a second. But so he, being very upset, obviously, says, you know, I forget what the exact line was, but it was something about, oh, you've been feeling overwhelmed, or we weren't overwhelmed dancing. And maybe, right. you know, you can, maybe dancing will help you follow through on promises. And actually care about your wedding planning, but I'll just let you get back to your busy day. He ate that line up. I'm sorry, he ate it. For his perspective and what he walked into, he ate the line up. This is not Listen. What happened. It's not what happened, but he ate the line up from what he knows about the situation.
Exactly.
When he said, I'll let you get back to your busy day, I said, oh, okay, I can't even say nothing.
I think what's so good about it is like whenever you can go back and recap All American, like, because in the moment you're kind of pissed, right? It's like, all right, come on, can we stop with all the problems? But the reality is people are going to have these problems and people are going to throw shots like Jordan did, because I'm going to be one too.
Exactly. And again, from what his vantage point was, all he can do.
That's what it looked like. Yeah.
And on top of the fact that he said that she didn't have to get the wedding planner before all of this happened. Exactly. And it just, like you said earlier, it was just poor timing. Because at this point, Layla's actually being honest about where she's at. Yeah. And Jordan was just having a very frustrating day. And this was just another thing on top of his frustrating day. So I really actually enjoyed this argument. Oh, I like the argument. I loved it. This discussion. I wouldn't even necessarily call it argument, but it was just like this discussion.
He had a little clapback. It was a little clapback.
Yeah, he had a little clapback.
He got his one off.
Exactly. He got his one off and walked away. Went back to say, oh, I can't be.
Which, by the way, I think Jordan, and I'm no therapist, so I know people like to take people's words and then be like, oh, I'm no therapist. But I do think he is dealing with a lot, and what's keeping him from not crumbling is the thought of planning the wedding, right?
Yes.
Because it's the love aspect of it. And so I think, and that's why I think it was so important to him, because I mean, think about that. We both said we thought Jordan would stay and he would be late and he would do that. But he literally shocked all of us. And like the wedding is his most important thing. Yeah. Which is funny because remember Jordan was going to marry.
Talk about that here. I'm kidding. Okay.
We are going to talk about it because it actually happened on All American.
Now you're gagging me. I love it. See, only no Coke is that. Only a couple people can clap back at me with it.
I forgot her name, so we don't know her name. So yeah,
Simone.
Simone. And so he really loved love, like that's his thing. And like with his father dying and everything, it probably helps. Like he just wants to be in that. And she keeps saying, "Oh, I don't. I'm not ready. Nope. 2 years from now. Yeah." So it's hurting him. It's hurting him.
You know what? I wasn't going to bring up Simone because I had a point about Simone. But since you brought her up, now I'll talk about her. Or talk about that relationship, rather, not about her specifically. Mm-hmm. But I did think it was interesting just in Jordan's reactions, because one of the things that I thought they were sort of going to have him regress in is that if you look at the first time around of when he had the engagement or the elopement, the whole Vegas situation, and the marriage that came out of Vegas, is that he chose to still hang out with his team and still work on the offense when they had Coach Montez at Beverly, and he chose to stay around with his teammates than go help Simone with it was the baby at the time, and talking to the adopted family or whatever have you. He just didn't sort of prioritize that at the time. So I thought it was very interesting that they had him follow through, because I was expecting the opposite. I said, no, he ain't gonna do this again. And then he did it. And then he did it, because this is a different situation, and it's a different Jordan. And it's a different, it's a completely different relationship. Completely different relationship.
Completely. So I want to throw that out there. I am way more of a fan of this than anything else. They're probably one of my favorites on the show.
So to wrap up on this is Layla, for the first time we saw her, the inklings of her being, you know,
honest
and upfront and communicating. Because I think that this is the first time she's actually had a chance to process it for herself, is that, and she tells Ryan, even though, don't get me started on that, man. But she tells Ryan that she doesn't know why she's feeling this way. She just feels very blah. She just feels very in the middle. She recognizes and acknowledges that she should be very excited. This is a day that everybody dreams about. And we also know that her mom's not here. This was something that we just recently in Olivia's grief episode saw that she said, I'm so excited for my mother to be a part of my wedding. And we know that's not the case. And we also know that she struggles with major depression. And I know that she's taken medications in the past. I forgot that she had to take daily medication. I knew too. That she had to take medication. I forgot that she had to take daily medication.
Me too.
And she's explaining the effects of the daily medication and that she's just in a middle zone right now so that she doesn't get too high or too low. It was... One of the saddest parts of this episode for me was when she said, and my poor fiance is like, I don't know how to explain to him.
Yeah. So, and that's what was so, like, so that whole scene with her and talking to Ryan, it really, like, it, like, hurt, right? Because, I mean,
it
like,
did!
The part that you just brought up, because at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my goodness, I have this conversation with Jordan, right? But it was good to see that she expressed that. I was kind of mad it was Ryan because I didn't like his advice.
Same.
I did not like it. He's not a doctor. Like, what are we doing?
Him telling her to stop taking her medic. And the thing is, the thing with this is it's dangerous at any level. At any level. But especially at the late level that we have seen Layla get to at her worst.
And like, at her worst,
it wasn't just a random thing. She had to go to rehab.
Heck.
She had to go to a mental health facility.
Yes. I did not like that advice. I know why they do it, right? I know why they have to put those kind of things in the episode. But like,
it was not on my bingo card that he would encourage her to stop.
And so, but I did like that she was honest about it. And I hope that we do get to see that conversation with her and Jordan in a healthy way. Because yes. I do think that on the show, they're starting to be one of the favorites, right? And so how do we allow them to have that conversation healthy without, like, how they are right now, right? They're both in a very interesting spot.
Yeah, and I You said favorites. I'm just thinking through. I'm just like, I'm imagining me later on this week sometime when I'm getting comments that are just like, I don't like that she said that Jordan Layla's one of the favorites.
Everything she says and like flips it, which is so funny because like you said, and I think that's why I'm so glad they did put this in the episode. That
me too, like, because they are a healthy couple.
She's on medication, people. Like, I mean,
she's on medication. You know, they're a healthy couple.
Like, what are we doing? Like, y'all are, what are we doing?
It was executed beautifully, their storyline up until this standpoint. Let me say this. I think that she was starting to explain to Jordan that she doesn't know why she felt this way, but she was just having a rough day and it was poor timing.
He was having a rough day.
Yes.
It was just too much. Yeah.
So I'll take the poor timing, and that's the reason for their poor communication over just they're not communicating with each other. Because they always have communicated with each other. Yeah, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. So
and they're each other's biggest supporter. So let's not forget
that.
And that's very important, people. Yes. It's very important.
Yes. So I kind of want to skip to Liv's story because I was going to do it last, but we can do it now. So she is doing, we already know that she's doing this bio on Billy. And she talks to Layla about it and says that she has her first interview. And the first interview was Grace, which I jokingly said would happen about the affair. And then it happened. And I said, oh, y'all ain't brushing things under the rug. Y'all ain't making stuff up anymore. Because I've been a very vocal advocate that we've sort of, you know, post Billy dying, we've had a different recollection of some events. Slightly different. We're remembering some things about Billy that I didn't necessarily see in his character traits, but good coach, a father. So basically Liv tells Layla that she's thinking it through, that she checked with her mom, everything's good for her to, you know, go and talk to Grace, and that she's just dealing with this in a different way that she would have, different projects in the past.
I was gonna say, I just like that they highlighted that. See, yes. It's good to highlight it, because when you don't highlight it, then that's when you get the people in your comments.
Especially trying to act like for the women on this show. There's so many misogynistic... Mm-hmm. I just have to call it out. There's so many misogynistic fans in this, in this audience, in this fan base, that always come for the women on this show for how they handle things. Even if they have valid reasons, it's very frustrating. And so I do love that they put these things in the dialogue to say they are thinking about this, they are working on this, they are acknowledging they can, they are allowed to be human, just like the guys are allowed to be human. So yeah, exactly. I could go on so many rants about that. Yeah. You know how I feel, but
yeah, I was getting ready to say, I know we'll have talks.
We'll have talks. But so Grace then invites Denise to the conversation. And I get it, but Grace always got to shade Denise. And if you go invite her, don't shade her to her face. I don't understand. Always got to have something underhanded to say. You know how I feel about this woman. Like, oh, you go invite her, they'd be like, oh yeah, stalker. Like, okay.
And Grace says stuff so gracefully though, so I don't know. It's so cute.
I'm glad you think it's cute.
I do. I think, and it's so funny because her name is Grace.
Yes.
And like, yeah,
so that is funny. That is hilarious. The subtle shade. yes, but then and then Denise starts off with picture it, Crenshaw, and it was supposed to be like picture Sicily. I don't even know where that's a reference from. I just understand that it is a reference.
Right, exactly. Oh my goodness.
But basically, as they get into this interview, Liv brings up the affair in a just very random, unexpected way, a way that was, I think it was around the fact that it was, you know, that Billy and Grace had a lot of love for each other. You know, they thought their love would stand the test of time, XYZ. And Liv says, I know, that's why you had an affair, something like that. and not even thinking about it, it just came.
Right.
It just came out of nowhere, and she acknowledges that. So she apologizes, rushes out. She actually has a conversation with Layla where she brings it up, and they talk about just that, how unexpected that trigger was for her. But when you go digging around in the past and it's not something that you've dealt with yet, that it can be very challenging to talk about and to discuss, and brings up something that you didn't expect. And so Liv explains all that with Grace. Grace, obviously, graciously, there you go, I'm giving Grace her props, graciously accepts, even though she doesn't apologize, but graciously, you know, accepts what Liv was saying, and, you know, basically says she doesn't have to feel bad about it, which I loved.
And did you see the hand, the Grace hand that she placed on Liv?
Yes, that was sweet. It was sweet. We love it. Future mother-in-law, future daughter-in-law moment. And Liv asked a question.
You know what I just thought about? And I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Like, that's your future mother-in-law. I would never. Oh, that changes the whole dynamic. But anyway, keep going. I didn't even think about that.
Listen, she wasn't aware of it. It was an unconscious action. It was Freudian slip.
Oh my.
It's a Freudian slip.
Imagine saying that to your mother-in-law. That's crazy.
I know. But Liv does ask about the affair for the first time. And the reason why I loved that she said it, even if it was crazy, is because I'm a person who I did not think, certainly not in season six, you know, episode three of season six, that we would finally get acknowledgement of how the twins, obviously this was Olivia, but I'm using it for the both of them, but the twins were affected by that affair on Grace's part. I think that we saw a lot of Billy dealing with the after effects of that, and not so much on Grace's part, just with the people in Beverly. And so I was glad, even though it took X many seasons, I'm so glad that they finally gave space for this moment for Liv to acknowledge, yes, I was impacted by your actions, because Grace be up in their house all the time. Like, Grace be up in their house all the time. And if it was me,
that's all I used to say, is like, man, these people better than me.
Laura is better than me.
She is so much better. The fact that she gave permission for that to be the first person you interview, I'm like, yes, hold up, what yes. are we doing?
Still, and that's my point.
Yeah, and like, yep. that could be hard, because like you said, I mean, this is my daughter-in-law trying to check me, like if you put those types of things into yeah. perspective. But I do like that they are showing that Liv is evolving.
Yes.
Right? And so I do like, right, that even to bring in this Liv situation, when her and Layla kind of had that conversation and she asked Layla, well, what made you want to keep digging, right? And it was saying that our parents are still human. And I think
yes,
that line right there.
That so is important. What college is all about, I think. Or that age, that yeah. age group is all about is, because I don't know about you, but when I turned, you know, the age, you know, 20, 21, around mm-hmm. that age, and you start to realize, oh, my parent or parents are a human being. Like, my parent is a fully formed human being right. that is not perfect. Like, my family is not perfect. Like, for me, it extended from my family. I right. came to this realization exactly. that, oh, the adults in my life, they are not perfect. They have flaws. Right. And as I'm coming to be an adult, I'm realizing the way that I view the world and the way that that might not line up with how I view the world as a kid, because I have my own fully formed thoughts now, and I can recognize that for exactly. my parents, which is why I love that line.
Yeah, it was so important. And I think, I really hope a lot of parents watched it too. And like, yes. because I think it's good for parents to also show their children that they are human.
Human beings.
Like, not just yeah. that the children kind of find this out once they're no longer here and they find out all these things about you, but show that human side to you. Because if not, they always put you on this pedestal.
Pedestal.
And then they
yep.
do have these moments where the moment the affair happens and all this, then they don't know how to deal yeah. somewhat with those feelings. And so I loved that scene yes, to kind of bring that whole thing to make sure Liv continued to be comfortable asking these questions and saying, hey, I'm just trying to understand. I absolutely loved it.
And giving grace to your parents, giving grace to
that word, grace.
The adults. Yeah. The adults in your life, because they are human. And knowing that it's okay, like, it's okay to recognize I don't necessarily agree with
yes.
for my family, I don't necessarily yes. agree, like, the way that, like, my this one person in my family thinks about this, but that's okay. I can still have love for them, and I can still them. Acknowledge that they're a person
yes.
and have grace and show
yes.
love while also disagreeing with also thinking in a different way. So yeah, I loved that. And it reminded me of early All-American in the sense that it made you think and say, like, yes. this is true, this is
yes.
hard.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So I love that you brought that up. And I just love that Layla and Liv got those conversations, because I've been begging. So I'm gonna leave it at that. But then Grace realizes later, after Spencer comes and mm-hmm. talks to her about his day, that she hadn't processed Billy's death. I also love that she again reiterated that what Liv said wasn't disrespectful,
right.
which, you know.
Yeah. So I do like that they're showing, I mean, it's such in a weird way. And so I wonder how they're going to, or if this is just all we're going to see of it, and it kind of just ends.
I think this is probably all we're going to see.
Because I think that it is good to address it. I mean, because it was such a weird situation.
Yeah.
What I think is funny, though, and maybe I just forgot, what happened to homeboy? Did he go work somewhere else again? Like, because where's your husband?
Why have they not been addressing her husband? But I'm so...
Okay.
If they're going to ignore it, I am too, is how I guess okay. how I'm dealing with this.
Because I did say, I think that was all weird. Because
but remember,
like,
she
okay.
decided to move back for Spencer.
Right, okay,
and
yeah.
they decided that Carter was going to be the one flying back and forth, but we just haven't seen
okay,
him.
Yeah.
Or his daughter. Just, where is his daughter?
Like, it's like, are you crying with him on the phone at night? I'm
exactly.
sure you're not.
And, yeah. Okay. I even though we had that lovely conversation a second ago about how parents are people too and adults are people too, I still cannot believe that. I mean, I was just floored, but also not floored, that when Spencer entered and was explaining his rough day, because he did have a very rough day,
mm-hmm.
that immediately Grace is like, obviously he noticed that she was crying, but then
yeah.
it immediately shifted to, yeah, I know that you've had a long day, and I just realized that I haven't grieved Billy. Like, I was like, what? Did you just make this about you?
Yeah, She did. She said, I can't. Your girlfriend came in here. She talked about me.
I don't even think he asked at first. She's just like, she just went straight for, like, head over heels. I said, like, mother, like, son. Am I lying?
That's what I was getting ready to say, because Spencer. But that's so funny, though, because usually boys who are with their moms, that's what they're seeing. So that's a good point, because see, now, Lexi, I don't like that you told me that. Because now I'm going to look at Grace totally different.
You know I'm always going to come for Grace. You know I'm always going to come for Grace.
Now I'm going to be watching every episode.
Even though
episode,
she had a couple good moments. She had a couple good moments in this episode, I will acknowledge. That was Spencer and Grace. And then at the end, like, there's just adorable moment between Spencer and Olivia where, because the eventual answer to Liv's question about the affair and why it happened was, Grace said that it wasn't about us being in love with each other. It was because we didn't deal with our pain. And so Liv comes back to Spencer at the end of the night and says, like, promise me that we will always, you know, deal with our pain. Can we promise that we'll always address our pain and make the cute pinky kiss? And I just loved it, because this is what I've been wanting to see from
healthy
them, just
relationships,
normal conversations.
And showing that, hey, I don't know. It's like she didn't really want to go deep into it. She just said, hey, look, can we just promise we won't do this? Right?
Exactly.
Like, I don't need to tell you all the details.
Don't bring up, I don't need to tell you all the details, because that was such a sore spot for how you're lying. I thought we were going to be honest with you. And it was just, honestly, I need to give Spencer his props for that one, because the fact that he said, even though he had already heard from Grace, but the fact that even though he didn't say, I don't need to hear all the details, but the fact that he didn't ask, share more, tell me more about this, and what is your deepest thoughts about this, even if you know you don't know them yet. But it was just that he accepted her saying, hey, I thought about this with your
mom.
And
that's so bad, because we're so triggered, because I immediately thought that's what he was going to do, and then he didn't.
But that's what I'm saying. So I just give Spencer his props. I give Spencer his tens.
That was the only prop to get.
No, I mean, I know I gave him his props earlier too. I think that he came out at the end of this episode and really, I think, course corrected from where we saw him in the beginning of this episode. And again, it was the things that he didn't say in that conversation with Liv that I appreciated as much as the things that he did in reassuring her that, yes, we will always address our pain. So I love that.
That was such a key
scene. And again, it's what I've been wanting to see. It's what I've been wanting to see from them. Now we're going to get to the final storyline with business is business and football is football. I was very vocal, I should say, last week about it not making sense that people were telling Spencer not to care about his team for professional football. And I said, even in professional football, it is about your team. So that's how I felt about it. And I think that you play for your contract, for your family, and for yourself, obviously.
Right.
But I still do think that you play the game for your team. So I bring that perspective to these
episodes.
To this conversation, I should say, yes, and to these episodes. But Spencer is very worried about getting the ball. He has this meeting with Coop and potential agents. I don't know why Coop is in this, because she's not certified in any way to be an agent.
She's only
been in law class for like a year and a half. And this is pre-law, mind you. She's not even in actual law school. She's in pre-law. And I think that she was taking one course. Is she even enrolled full-time at GAU? So that's neither here nor there. But Coop was in these meetings with the agents, giving Spencer the yes or no on one of the agents. And one of the agents essentially talked to Spencer about the fact that his stats are declining and the offense is changing a little bit. Yes, now the offense is changing that Mac has taken over. It did not change in the last episode. He was just spreading out the ball. I had to specify that, because people were like, how are they changing? I'm like, you can't change an offense mid-game. You can't change an offense mid-game. But never now worked. The offense is actually changing. They're installing new plays. And his Spencer's stats are suffering. But anyway, Spencer gets really frustrated in this one practice that they have. And he sort of demands the ball. And he goes over to defense. Now, it cut off a little bit for me during this whole period of time. So I'm assuming that after he came to Kenny about, hey, can you... I'm sort of not getting the ball. Then maybe he goes over to Kenny again and asks if he can try defense for a practice.
Yeah, so they started, like, beefing, him and Jordan. And, like, for me, he was yelling at Jordan about, like, you won't give me the ball, you won't give me the ball. The coach kind of comes over and, like, he said, I'm calling the plays coach gives me. Like, what do you want me to do? And then that's kind of when he asks to get on defense. And originally the head coach says no, but then the offensive coordinator is saying, well, yeah, we're playing a good corner. This next week, it would be good to go against somebody that's good playing defense. So basically Jordan could get the practice. But see, this is where, like, it was like, oh, and it's like, I'm on both sides of it. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I do think about, right. And this is some Ravens talk I'm about to throw in because she...
Go, course, please, because I was going to do the same thing.
But, okay, so, like, Lamar, one thing Lamar is going to do is look out for his homie. He's going to get his homie the ball, right? He's going to give him his homie the ball, especially if he knows he's good. I remember, and let's just say at the time, he's going to go to Hollywood. And I used to be like, oh, he's going to get on the ball. Like, that's literally what he's going to do. And so this idea that Jordan isn't trying to get Spencer the ball, I could see where Spencer's coming from that point of view. I don't think his approach is per se good because Spencer has always come out to be very selfish, that it's like, you just want the ball. Like, what are we saying? Yeah. But I do think that when we're talking about the game of football, right, that's usually what a quarterback's going to do. A lot of people know the name Patrick Mahomes, right? He's going to get the ball to his guy,
Travis
Kelce,
no matter- or at the time, like Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
He's going to, like, give it. And so to me, it was just funny. And then it's like also, right? So and the reason why I did put Hollywood in the notes because Lamar wanted Hollywood to get the numbers. Right. Because he knows if he gets the numbers, he gets the pay. He gets this. He gets that. And that's what you do to your friend. Right. That's how you help out your friend. And so for me, it's like Jordan is trying to act like Spencer's the only selfish one in this. But they've always played this tit for tat. Right. Yeah. It's always been the most unhealthy bro thing.
And
I've
it's
ever
so
seen.
Weird because they rely on each other so much, so much as a QB and wide receiver tandem. Yeah. And it's, I don't know if you thought this way too, but it reminded me almost of, is Mac even letting, you know, you have some QBs have more control over their offense and audibles than others, right? You have, like, your Lamar Jacksons, who now has a lot of control over the offense, versus a Brock Purdy, who it might be more of a point and sort of shoot, get this to this target, no matter what. And so I was wondering if Mac is actually telling him, okay, this needs to go to... It felt like Mac is running a very rhythm offense type of offense, even if it is more run heavy, even like Monken. We're getting deep into the Ravens right now, but it felt like Mac has a very rhythm based offense and that he's very particular about which receiver should get the ball. So I wasn't sure if Jordan was, again, like, oh, I'm purposefully ignoring Spencer, or if it was legitimately like Mac was like, I want this receiver to get the ball, I want this receiver to get the ball, I want this receiver to get the ball.
No, I think you bring up a good point. And I think that is kind of what's going on. I think Spencer is just thinking, okay, like, we know you go through your reads. Do you go through your read and give me the ball?
Give me the ball. Yeah. And that's so my thought was, what does Mac have against Spencer that Spencer is not the number one read, even though he's the star player?
Yes. And because that's the story that needs to evolve, right? And I think that's
exactly
where we're
Yes. And so I think, and I do think it's a little bit of Jordan just not passing him the ball. Like, there was you could have thrown him the ball a little bit.
When he was like the short route, he could have easily
the short route, and he chose the deep route. Like, That is something Lamar would do, by the way, if someone's like wide open in the short, right? Ah, nah, F it. I'm gonna throw the deep route. Exactly. Like, so it is, let me not say that it's not at all on Jordan. I do think that everybody has a part to play in this.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that Max's part is being sort of underlooked at and saying, who is the primary read on these routes, and what does Mac have against Spencer that he's not making Spencer the primary read on these routes?
I agree
because
with that.
He is your star player.
Yeah,
but also Jordan, to your point, Jordan, that's your homie. You need to get him the ball, and he's your star player.
I don't care like, what the coach said. That's kind of what Spencer said. He said, "I don't care what you call it. Throw me the ball."
Yeah, and right. Talking about, and that's why he picked him off, because business is business, right? I'm him. Did it not remind you? Did I run out the Patrick Mahomes video where he's like, I'm here. Have you seen that? I'm here. Yeah.
Listen, I do not like that saying personally. So
Neither do I.
Like, went off on it. It was actually so cringe. Like, it was so cringy. But what I like, sometimes I like consistency, because one thing I don't like, and this is props, and I always forget his name to the head coach, that he treats all the players the same. Spencer, get off my field. I don't care. Mm-hmm. However you're doing, get off the field.
You like Kenny as a kid? I do not like Kenny.
No, I like that he holds everybody
accountable. Like,
some head coaches would allow that because it's passion, right? Mm-hmm. But what you want out of your players, and I don't want to say you don't want that, but when you allow it to get like it got with Spencer in that moment, it gets dangerous. Right? It gets extremely dangerous. And so I like that he told Spencer to get off the field, because especially you need to get yourself together. Get off the field. Because see, if you do that, now those other players that are not as good as you, and I let you get away with that, they're going to think that, man, this coach don't really care. So that's the only thing I like about him. Let me
I do, but I just think that it always takes a long time. Why was his decision overridden anyway to have Spencer play defense? He just doesn't seem to have a grip on his team, and I don't like that. Like, it, even the fact that he obviously that I compared him to John last week, and because he is at this point, he was a wide receiver coach. I know he's not calling plays for the defense. He's not a defensive minded coach. He's an offensive coach, and then his offensive responsibility got taken away because he doesn't know how to call offense. So anyway. Don't give me
y'all don't know our pain. Y'all don't know our pain.
But so it's that sort of a thing where Kenny is a locker room guy, and most of the time I don't even think he's good at being a locker room guy.
Yeah, I do think that you bring up an interesting point of, okay, what is this beef with Spencer, and like, where did it come from? Who are you? Why?
For Mac,
like, why don't you want him to get the ball? I mean, because it also helps the university, right? If Spencer starts getting the ball, more media attraction, because now he is, it's weird.
And I will give that to Kenny, that he did recognize that in the beginning, but I don't know what Mac's agenda is with, maybe it's just proving that he can build GAU even greater, even if he's not using the star player. But I just thought it was very interesting. It's almost like I said this to somebody earlier, but I said it reminds me of the Stephon Diggs situation. Because remember, and actually I don't even think it's a little bit different, because the Bills offense wasn't as good when they stopped utilizing him, but it just felt like it was better. And I think in this case, GAU's offense might actually be better. But it's the same sort of thing where an offensive coach comes in, changes the scheme a little bit, and then the star wide receiver doesn't get the stats that they're used to.
And we know that.
And maybe I'll come around to Kenny.
No, I don't think she will. Kenny probably won't be there long.
I didn't want Kenny to get the job anyway. So, but listen, I love the actor, though. I love the actor. I think he's so good. But long story short, Spencer has a conversation with Coop after this frustrating practice, where he vents out his frustrations. And honestly, I wasn't mad about it, because I was just like, this is who you should be venting out your frustrations. Vent out your frustrations to Coop, go on the long rant, like that I just let Dion down and I don't know why I acted like that at practice or whatever. And Coop is there to remind him nothing should ever come easy. And I'm glad that he also acknowledged that Coop also changed her address and that she doesn't live in Crenshaw anymore, because I think that's been under talked about as well. So I'm just, people were addressing things for me in this episode that I needed them to address. Even if it was in passing. So they had a good conversation, I think.
I agree. And I was saying, like, now that I'm thinking about it, I probably, like, just want to throw this out there. I'm probably more at, like, an 85, so, like, a B. Like, I remember I was on
the, I know, fence, now like, that we're actually talking B. about it, I'm like, this now is actually, it might be a B plus. It was still, but the editing. But it's still, you're right, it's a B. It's a solid B. Yeah. But the writing and the story, B plus for me. Mm-hmm. And so Coop tells him basically, like, things aren't going to come easy, and that gives him, you know, that needed, okay, putting things into perspective. And mm-hmm. later on, Coop also explains that the guy, I don't remember his name, but the guy who's the agent's assistant, came and watched him at practice because Spencer had mentioned it, and she said, you know, he's actually rooting for you and in your corner. Right. And he later comes by the house and, you know, gives Spencer his props again and says, I saw a passionate player. And that's what an agent is for. And I love that. And he said, yeah, I saw a passionate player on that field. Your stats speak for themselves. And Spencer decides to make his, you know, decision that this man, I got to figure out his name, is going to be his agent once he becomes a full agent and once Spencer is eligible to sign with an agency for the draft. So it was a good episode. We actually got a lot of stories move forward, which I'm happy about, because I was wondering, we were like, okay, when we gonna get into these stories, we're scratching the surface, but when we gonna get into them, and I think that we finally are.
Right, and I think that sometimes, so that's why I'm glad, like, we're talking through it, because it does, like, you have to remember that, like, they're young adults.
Yeah.
Right, and we're watching an hour of, like, a whole couple of days, right? So yeah. how do we, and I think this episode might have been just one day. I think maybe two.
I think it was, but, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, a long, and so they're doing it in an hour, right? So, I mean, a lot of you guys don't even think, like, logically, right? So when these stressful situations, is like, oh, look. And I do like how they're showing that the characters are evolving. Except for your one homegirl. But for the most part, you know what homegirl I'm talking about.
You're talking about the op, Coop.
Yes. But that they're showing, like, different ways they're growing.
I agree with what you said. So that was the episode.
I think we're headed in a good direction.
Me too.
As long as they don't throw us a curveball next.
No, I know. Thanks for listening to our review of episode 603, Business is Business. And stay tuned for our predictions.